All right, welcome. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM as we get it rolling on a Tuesday, the first day of October. I hate to break the news to you, but that's what it is. But that also means that we're right in the midst of the college football season, and Paul Costanzo joining us weekly now because I make him do it. He doesn't get a choice in the matter. He has to come on. And Paul, I realize Clemson certainly didn't do to North Carolina what everybody thought they would do, but they still won the game. So how come they lose the number one spot to Alabama?
Because it's a beauty contest all throughout the college football season. I think that's really, really all it is. Any coach or player will tell you that it's incredibly hard to win week after week, and it's even harder to win on the road in the conference. Especially when you're on the top and you're prone to having a bad day. Like, college kids have bad days sometimes, and they still won. I will say this about Clemson, especially with Texas A&M having lost a couple games now and probably has three more losses on their schedule and barely got by Arkansas. One Clemson loss could be hard to come back from. That schedule was bad. So they do have to pick it up, I think. But, yeah, I mean, they haven't done anything this year to tell us that they're not the number one team in the country, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, you've said in the past that there's Alabama, there's Clemson, and then there's everybody else.
Yeah.
But the way Ohio State is playing, would you throw them in the mix now?
They're really close. I was kind of... You know, it was Alabama, Clemson, and everybody else. I do think that until somebody beats one of the two of them, you know, either in the playoff or keeps one of them out of the playoff, then we do kind of have to look at it that way. But, man, Ohio State looks like an absolute machine. And I understand that their schedule hasn't been overly difficult, but Nebraska's not horrible. And they made them look like a JV football team. Like, it was – that was as – brutal of a beatdown as I've seen in primetime in a long time. And I've watched, you know, Notre Dame go on the road against top five teams several times, Dennis, and that was as bad as I've seen. So, that was a rough one for Nebraska. But no, Ohio State looks unbelievable right now.
So what are Michigan State's chances against Ohio State here? And again, because the Spartans did struggle against Indiana. That was not a pretty win on Saturday.
No, but if we go by Michigan State's season so far, every other week they played really well. So they're due for one, I think. But seriously, I think that with their defense, they can, you know, possibly ugly it up a little bit, which is going to be their only chance at winning the game or staying in that game. There's no way they can get into any type of shootout with Ohio State. It won't go well for them. So they're just going to have to try and contain Justin Fields and J.K. Dobbins, and I don't know how you do that or if you can do that. But, the line opened up at 17.5, I think, and that sounds about right. So it's going to be an uphill battle.
Contain those guys. Containing them is like holding Ohio State to 35. And I don't know that Michigan State can score 35 in 2 weeks.
No, not against that Ohio State defense, which is all of a sudden good, by the way. That was their Achilles heel last year, is that their defense was a little shaky. They gave up big plays, and they didn't play well against, you know, inferior opponents either. It was a rough defense. Now their defense is absolutely smothering to go along with an offense that's somehow more dynamic. They're scary, like very, very scary right now.
All right. Will it be a good game or what's going to happen? Iowa at Michigan.
I'm very intrigued by this game for a couple reasons. One, I want to see what Iowa really is all about. I know they beat Iowa State on the road, which is a nice win. And that was a weird game, too, where there were multiple lightning delays. So that's one of those games where a lot of weird things can happen, but Iowa, you know, kept it all together there. They really played anybody else other than that. Michigan in the one game against a team with a pulse that we've seen. Well, I guess Army had one, but that wasn't pretty either. So,
to be honest about it, they should have lost to Army. Army had a chance to actually pull them out.
Right. And so, I mean, they've struggled with, obviously, Wisconsin struggled a lot, and then with Army struggled. And they need this one because the Rutgers game is that's a good get healthy week, right? Playing Rutgers. I don't know if you can order one better, but. You know, now they've got to prove again. It's always with Michigan. Prove that you can do it against, you know, a really good quality opponent. Iowa, defensively, I think they're very good. So it's going to be a really good test for Josh Gattis's offense. And for Michigan's defense, too. I think that Iowa is definitely not as dynamic as Wisconsin is. They don't have a Jonathan Taylor. But it's a solid offense that is fairly well balanced. And so, you know, let's see how they do there. But I'm really intrigued by this one because I think it's going to tell us a lot about the Big Ten moving forward.
Yeah, certainly about these two teams. And you mentioned the Big Ten's got six teams right now in the top 25. And so far, after Ohio State and Wisconsin, I probably have questions about everybody else.
Yeah, I think that's definitely fair. I think Ohio State is on their own level. This one will tell us if Iowa can possibly push Wisconsin in the West. That would be the thing. But if Michigan comes out and they play really well, and, you know, they don't have to beat up, like, they don't have to blow out Iowa, but if they, you know, they look good in all phases and it's a really solid victory, you know, then you start to think, okay, maybe they just needed to figure some stuff out. Maybe they had to get healthy. You know, maybe there were just a few things to get through and they can, you know, start on their way forward. So it is. It's going to be a big. Well, obviously, it's a big game between two top 20 teams, but I think that it's really big for what we could see going forward.
I know. Rutgers is a soft opponent, but it just seems like that was put on the schedule in the right spot. It was exactly what Michigan needed after the Wisconsin game was to have a weak opponent, and then for them to do what they did to Rutgers, 52-0. That's the perfect score for that game and to kind of give Michigan, okay, we can be better and have just a better feeling about themselves going into the Iowa game.
No, I 100% agree with you. And the big thing about playing a weaker opponent is there's nothing you can do about who's on your schedule once you're in the season. It's who's there, how they're performing. You cannot touch that, right? So you just have to, you know, do everything you can, put on the best performance that you can, no matter who's lined up across from you. And that's exactly what they did. You know, you can't fault them at all for, you know, it being Rutgers. They looked very good. You know, they played very well. Does that mean that they're over the can't beat good teams portion of the Jim Harbaugh era? We don't know. But it does tell us that they've at least, I mean, Middle Tennessee State was bad too, and they didn't look that good in that game. So there are improvements that have been made for sure for Michigan, which was a good sign for them.
All right, this week, number 7, Auburn at number 10, Florida, looks like maybe the most interesting game.
Yeah, that's the one. I mean, obviously, regionally for us, you know, the two Big Ten games that we already talked about are big, but this one is probably the nationally relevant one. Well, it is. It's two top 10 teams. Auburn looks very, very good right now. And Bo Nix has already come into his own, which is kind of scary. But we get this every so often. You know, you get that odd year Auburn team that is national championship caliber, and this might be that team. And they've got all the ingredients. And Florida, I think, is probably a little overrated at 10. I don't think that they're one of the top 10 teams in the country. But they could, you know, prove me and I think a lot of other people wrong. Not that, you know, that they're listening to what I have to say, but you know, they could prove a lot, I think, this weekend if they beat Auburn, obviously.
So big statement game if Florida wins, but you're expecting Auburn to come out on top here.
I am, and in fact I wouldn't be surprised if it's fairly comfortable, just because of what I've seen from them and how well that they've played as of late. I mean, that's a very good team.
Speaking of fairly comfortable, number 9, Notre Dame, gets a home game against mighty Bowling Green.
45-point favorites, Dennis. I've never seen that for Notre Dame, and obviously, like, I wasn't paying attention to spreads back when they were winning national championships. But, yeah, it should be fairly comfortable.
You hope?
I hope, yeah.
You always sound nervous, and then they do just fine. They handled Virginia?
In the second half they did, yeah. But the first half was nerve-wracking. But they'll be fine. I'm not worried about the Bowling Green game. Let's just put it that way. I fully expect to watch a lot of Auburn, Florida. Let's just say that.
All right. I bumped into you at high school football on Friday. So now you've seen St. Clair and you've seen Marine City. They'll both win this week to get to 6-0 because they're crossing over with the MAC Bronze. And they both have opponents they should handle. So they'll both be 6-0. And on the 11th, which is a week from Friday, they'll meet at East China Stadium. Do you like one team over the other right now, or is it too close to call?
It's pretty close. I like different aspects of each team, for sure. What I saw from Marine City on Friday was, we talked at halftime of the game, it was vintage Marine City. Just a defense that is all over you. And then, you know, that run game that is punishing with multiple backs, and a quarterback who can take advantage, you know, on play action pass and with his feet. It did look to me like they were the more complete team. Now, granted, I saw them a couple weeks after I saw St. Clair and against a weaker opponent. But I guess if you made me pick right now, I would probably pick Marine City.
All right. I got them number one on my top 10 for the area, but I've got St. Clair at number two right now. So that's the 11th actually is a big night in our area for high school football because you've got the Port Huron High, Port Huron Northern game. Both teams should be 5-1 going into that one, probably for the MAC Blue Championship. One of them is going to clinch a playoff spot that night, and we've never had a year where they've both made the playoffs, and it looks like that's going to be a thing this year. Then you've got the St. Clair Marine City game that I just mentioned, also probably going to decide the BWAC title next a week from Friday when Elmont's at Richmond. So three huge games going on at the same time.
Yeah, and that's pretty crazy. That would have been a beautiful yet nightmare situation for us when I was at the Times Herald. Like, okay, where do we go? Where do we send a photographer? How do we do this? But yeah, that's going to be a really exciting night for local football fans for sure.
I'm sure I will bump into you somewhere down the road at another game.
You will see me at Port Huron High versus Port Huron Northern.
Okay.
So there you go.
You going anywhere this weekend?
Croslex Algonac.
Okay. Well, keep me posted on that one. I'll be at the PH Cousineau game, which I fully expect PH to win.
Yes, I will keep you posted. And before I go, can I give one more shout out for our Port Huron Sports Hall of Fame?
I was going to bring that up.
Thank you. We're on the same level, Dennis. I appreciate that. It's October 12th, but tickets are on sale through this Saturday, October 5th, at the McMoran box office. And just real quick, Troy Burrell, Jim Burnell, Adam Kring, Christy Lashbrook, Adam Roach, and Rod Shaw are the individual inductees. So that's a real strong class, we feel. And then the 1990-91 Port Huron Northern basketball team that lost to Detroit Southwestern in the quarterfinal. That is the team that we're putting in, too. So excited about the class. And it's at the SC4 Fieldhouse. Great meal, great time, and a lot of fun stuff, too, to listen to people reminisce about their time as athletes in the area.
Do we have a guest speaker lined up?
We don't have a guest speaker this year, Dennis, so I can't forget it live on the air, which was fun last year. but no, it's just it was just a decision that we made as a group this year. We wanted to focus it more on the actual inductees. It also just kind of shortens the time of the event because we were running, until about 8:30-ish with a lot of these. So yeah, we're just focusing on the inductees and looking forward to getting them in. And, of course, now that it's in the SC4 Fieldhouse, everybody can look at the actual Port Huron Sports Hall of Fame display because it's right there. It lives in the fieldhouse right now.
Good stuff. All right.
Yeah.
Perfect. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you, Dennis.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Bye.
All right, there's Paul Costanzo, who joins us on a weekly basis here on the program to talk about college football. We will take a break, and then we'll be back with more in just a moment. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM, and we're here until 7 o'clock this evening with the program.